This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New World Report. I welcome Alejandro Pina Esclusa, a Venezuelan writer and commentator for the political dilemma facing all of the Americas as Maduro, the dictator, is invited to go by the United States military, invited with a flotilla off the coast of Venezuela. However, we also mentioned that Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, is not with us today. He's traveling. He expects to be with us soon enough to give us a big picture on Brazil. But Venezuela is plenty right now. Alejandro, a very good evening to you. I read you some of the headlines that are spilling out about Maduro, the dictator. Venezuela's Maduro says he wants a dialogue with the U.S. That's the Agence France. And then Venezuela's Maduro writes to Trump, offers direct talks with envoy. That's CNN. And Associated Press, Venezuela armed forces hold military exercises in Caracas. Good heavens, he's moving around a lot. All right. What can you tell us? This is a United Nations General Assembly gathering week. What can you tell us about the voices of the opposition, Ms. Machado and Mr. Gonzalez, the elected president of Venezuela? Good evening to you, Alejandro.
Good evening, John. Thank you for the invitation. Well, starting by the last point, Edmundo Gonzalez, the president-elect, the guy who beat Maduro by 4 million votes, that is 40 points more than Maduro, and Maria Corina Machado, who is the leader of the opposition, they recorded a video for this General Assembly, and they reaffirm everything what Trump has been saying. That is a drug cartel, the cartel of the sons running Venezuela, that is an illegitimate government, that is a criminal structure, that is threatening the peace and security and stability of the Western Hemisphere. But the most important, I believe, John, is that Edmundo Gonzalez himself is supporting, in that video, the military actions of the United States, the flotilla, as you called it, the armed forces are surrounding Maduro in the Caribbean. That's very, very important because it gives a legality. That is, the real president of Venezuela is publicly supporting in the UN Assembly what Trump is doing against Maduro militarily. So that was something that hadn't happened before, but now it's a go-ahead. It's an authorization for the United States for whatever the U.S. is going to do. And I believe it's going to happen soon. Whatever it happens, I think we're days before it happens.
You report that there has been a fact-finding mission on Venezuela that is reported in Geneva. What is that? What is that mission? What are were the results of the reporting?
Well, this fact-finding mission has issued a new report, but they've done it before. It's been for many years studying the Venezuela situation. But today it was presented in Geneva by the Chilean woman who presides it. Her name is Marta Valiñas. And he read the conclusions. By the way, he said that the son-in-law of the president of Venezuela, the elected president, Edmundo González, has been kidnapped by the regime of Maduro, and he has disappeared for many months. The daughter of Edmundo González knows nothing about him. And she says, Marta Valiñas, on behalf of this fact-finding mission, that is the situation of many Venezuelans. I can tell you, I've said it before, I was in jail in Venezuela, persecuted in the higher security political prison in Venezuela, which is called El Helicoide. And we saw the government or the regime putting people in there without informing anyone, not the lawyers, not the families. The people didn't know those new prisoners were there. So she read the conclusions of this fact-finding mission about tortures, about forced disappearance, unjust jailings, about sexual violations done by the regime and many other violations of human rights that altogether it amounts to crimes against humanity. So it's a combination of two things happening at the same time. In New York, the General Assembly, and in Geneva, this meeting of human rights, United Nations Council, and many, I want to tell you this, John, many countries spoke against Venezuela in that meeting, asking for justice, asking for a change in Venezuela.
I want a picture of what it's like inside Caracas today, the capital, but the largest city. I have many photographs from the last 150 years of Caracas as it grew. It's surrounded by ridges, and it's in what looks to be a valley, a river valley. What is life like in Caracas? Is there food security? Is there medical attention adequate? What about the young people and the old people of Caracas? How are they today?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you, John, that that is my city. That is where I lived always, not since 4 years ago, because I was forced to escape out of Venezuela. Now I live in Europe. I've been in Europe for 3 years, but I talk to Venezuela every single day. I have family, I have friends, and they told me what the situation is. And during the last years, the Venezuelan crisis has increased incredibly. Venezuela has lost 80% of of its gross product in the last years. Just this year, 2025, the Bolivar, which is the Venezuelan money, the Venezuelan coin, has lost more than 25% in the first semester of this year against the U.S. dollar. So what does this cause to the Venezuelan people? Well, the inflation is probably the highest in the world. People don't find jobs. The salary is about $3 a month, John. $3 a month. So people cannot live with this. That's why, according to the UN, more than 8 million Venezuelans have been forced to escape the country. Some of them for political reasons like myself, others because they have to survive. So the situation is terrible. The hospitals are destroyed. If you don't have a very expensive, let's say, insurance, you're in risk if you get sick. So even though it's an oil producing country, the gasoline for cars aumented a lot. So it is very difficult to live nowadays in Venezuela. And in these weeks, because of this flotilla in front of the Venezuelan coast, well, everybody is just in an expectation. Everybody is waiting for something to happen, and they are praying for that to happen to obtain some sort of change and that the regime of Maduro falls, because that's the only way to recover economy and to start again to have a great country like we had before. Because, as you know, a few decades ago, Venezuela was the richest country in the continent.
So we're looking at a downtown where the storefronts are boarded up and people's houses are empty or they've padlocked their houses. And we're talking about the large city of Caracas being reduced. Have the 8 million mostly come from Caracas, the large cities? I'm only guessing here, because in the countryside you can sustain yourself by growing food, but not in the city.
Well, actually, if you go around Caracas at night, you will see that in the buildings, in the house buildings, maybe half or less of the lights are on.
I see.
Most of the apartments are empty. But that's not only in Caracas. Also in Maracaibo, Valencia, Maracay, Puerto La Cruz, other cities are the same. I know a little town in the coast of Venezuela called Naiguatá that they have a bus leaving two times a week from Naiguatá to the border of Colombia, and it's in the province, the state of Táchira. And people just say goodbye to their family, especially young people, because they have to somehow obtain the food to survive and work abroad and send dollars to their elders in Venezuela for them to survive. So it is very tragical, John.
The report of Venezuela armed forces holding military exercises in Caracas. Dozens of military tanks rolled through Caracas on Saturday, 2 days past. An armed forces deployment called Encounter with the People. However, I've been led to believe that the armed forces cannot feed their own soldiers. Is that correct?
Yeah, the situation of the armed forces in Venezuela is exactly the same as the rest of the economy. It's destroyed. Of course, the higher commands, the generals, they're fat. They eat very well. They have a lot of money because they're corrupt and because they belong to the cartel of the Suns. But the lower-ranking military are in a very terrible situation. And those exercises they're doing, it's just psychological warfare. Nobody is willing to offer their lives to sustain Maduro. They don't have bullets. They don't have maintenance. They don't have gas for the tanks. Only two F-16s are operative. So it's just psychological warfare. If there's an action of the United States against Maduro, the whole Venezuelan situation, the whole Venezuelan population will come out and celebrate in the streets.
And one more detail about life in Caracas right now. Are arrests going forward? Are they still making political arrests? And are people being held in Caracas? And do they have communication with their families?
Yes, John. Every day they're putting new people in jail. And they do not have any communication. It's getting worse and worse because the regime is paranoid. And they're putting in jail also military because they're thinking that some military might go the other way around and go against Maduro when the United States comes in, whatever the United States is going to do. There's talk about specific actions, not invasion, but specific high technology actions against certain people of the cartel of the Suns. But with that, when that happens, then everything's going to change. The people's going to go against Maduro. Many military will do so. So the regime is persecuting military because they're afraid that they're somehow in contact with the United States, giving information on the Maduro's hidings and places and all of that.
One more detail. Is there an organization or some mechanism that can surrender Maduro to the authorities as the alleged head of a cartel? Does an organization like that exist in the opposition, in the army, anybody who can arrest him?
Only the military, because to do that, you need the force.
Right.
Maduro will never hand himself in if he doesn't have a gun pointing at his head. So no civilian, no institution can apprehend him. It has to be a group of military that decides to go against him. And it might happen. It might happen, John.
Alejandro Pena Esclusa, Venezuelan writer and thinker in Europe. We're headed to the border of Venezuela and Colombia. Alejandro indicates there are buses to that border, but there's comparable troubles in Bogota about drugs, about leadership, about violence. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.